Well, 2018 is the new year, so we get a new year's message to focus on. Solomon said that there was a time for everything. There's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. Time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to uproot, time to kill, time to heal, time to tear down, time to build, time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn, time to dance, time to scatter stones, time to gather them, time to embrace, time to refrain, time to search, time to give up, time to keep, time to throw away, a time to tear, time to mend, time to be silent, time to speak, time to love, time to hate, time for war, and a time for peace. I say, listening to these testimonies and knowing my own, that being that we're able to be here today, then it's time for us to have a fresh start. A fresh start. Some of us are building off of greater starts. Some of us are building off of beginning starts. Amen. But it's always a good time to sit down and strike our feet in the ground and know exactly where we're at. We need to know exactly where we're at so then we can accept that and accept that time to grow. Amen. It's always time to start over. So I said, how many of us in here this evening would like to start over or have a fresh start in our Christian life? Right? I know I have. Many of us have made many mistakes and in our lives have experienced setbacks and failures that haunt us for time and time and time to come. But see, that's the funny thing about the past. Paul said, I don't regard having attained it yet, but one thing that I do, letting what lies behind be behind, I press forward towards the upward call in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And what he's saying is, it is what it is. As of today, yesterday was yesterday. The only way that affects us now is if we choose to drag it along with us. Amen? Right? If there's mistakes and baggage and things that we've done in 2017, today is 2018, those baggage, those mistakes, those things no longer can come with us. Now, they can come with us in the knowledge that we learn from them. Right? We got a taste of something that we didn't want. I've spent many times talking to people about addictions and having issues, and I've seen that sometimes their failures were their greatest achievements when they were exposed to something that they knew that was something they never wanted again, right? They fell victim to something and they tasted it, but it tasted bitter this time. It tasted nasty this time. It showed them, you know, that's not who they are or what they want to be, and gave them that drive to then further push away from it. You know, so it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to hold these things over our heads. And sometimes we allow mistakes and setbacks and failures to enslave us to the point that we never enjoy the full Christian life that God has given us to enjoy. Right? So if I wake up today and God has renewed me and he's given me this new opportunity, but I'm dragging along this baggage and this frustration for things that I've been dealing with for months and years, then that's taken away from that new door that's open in front of me. Amen? If I'm looking out the window, I can't see out the door. Amen? I mean, it's that simple. I can't allow these past situations, these things in my life, to deter me any further. We need to set forward. John 10:10, Jesus said, I came to you that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I came here to give you life, but life more abundantly. And that's the life that I want to have. That's the life that I want to partake in. That's the life that I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of that life that God has for me. Amen. That life that's above the rest of the walls and the city and the television and the things that are out there that are trying to draw me in and tell me, no, this is what you're supposed to be. This is what you're supposed to be. This is the only thing that needs to tell me what I'm supposed to be. Amen. Right here in my hand. This is the only thing that I need to look to and say, I need to accommodate myself to this. Not the TV, not what my buddy's status is, not our success in life, not my criminal history. This word in my hand. That's the only thing. And Jesus said, I came here to give you life, you have it more abundantly. How long did we live our lives without that abundance of Jesus in our life? Amen? And I remember points and times in my own life that were very, very, very successful in the social world's eyes, right? Because if you're financially set, then you're successful. That's it, right? But in those dark times, I couldn't sleep at night, looked out the window, never knew when the end was going to be. Amen? Is that success to me? Not now. Not now. That's not success. I would rather be broke and have full faith than all the money in the world today. Because it's a mindset. God's life, when He says, I came to give you life, life more abundantly, is when He opens our eyes to realize. Somebody said that when we were going around in the testimony, said that I've just come to realize just how many blessings are in front of me. Amen. Just opening my eyes today. People saying, take time to smell the flowers. The fact that we woke up, the fact that we're here today is a blessing. Amen. But the devil reminds us of our past. And keeps us from enjoying that life. He doesn't want us to have a fresh start. So we make 6-7 steps forward, and the devil wants to get in our ear and say, oh, no, you're not good enough for that. No, you're not going to make that. No, that opportunity's not for you. You know, he wants to get in there and say, oh, you're not ready for this. You're not, you know, he wants to remind you of your weaknesses. But I ain't going to have that. I'm not going to listen to that. The great truth is that God is far more interested in our future than in our past. Amen. God is much more interested in our future than in our past. And that's one thing that we all can hold on to today. And we can use this past, great terrible pasts, for great awesome good. Because we can sit and look in the other man and woman's eyes and let them know that I have been where you have been. But I am here today now because God has believed in me and given me faith to continue to try. Amen? So you take that testimony and say, you think you're muddy? Let me tell you about something. Amen. I don't even like to talk about it half the time because I don't like to glorify the things from my past. But those of us that do know me and know me closely from past histories know that I've gotten pretty muddy. But at the end of the day, God has the ability to wash that off. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and worry about the things I did in 13 and 14 and 11 or what happened to me in 02 and 04 and 05 or whatever. You know, none of that stuff is going to hold me down. I'm focused on this right now, the now, with what God has for me now, not what happened yesterday. Yesterday's got to go. So if we're going to change, then we got to stop making excuses for our failures. Other people can hurt us. Other people can harm us. Other people can scar us. But it's up to us. It's up to us to allow that to affect our lives. Amen? It's up to us to allow those scars, those pains, and those frustrations to affect us. In Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. Well, there's point A of the partial 2017 man that I was. It was a man that wanted to present the best presentation to every individual that I run into. Right? You want to bring your A game to everybody that you run into. You want to show that, you know, but sometimes it's best to be defective. Amen? Because if I come in and I talk to Brian and I tell him, you know, oh, I'm great, I'm good, everything's good, it's good, it's good. And he goes, and then he leaves and I'm broken. Right? What good does that do me? What good did that do him? He had an opportunity to help me. I had an opportunity to receive help, but I'm too hard to open up and let you know that I'm struggling right now. It don't have to be pretty. It's just got to be real. Amen? 2018, I want to be real. No longer hiding things, putting things, sweeping them under the rug. I want to put them on the table. This is me. These are my defects. I'm facing them. I'm not afraid of them. I don't like them. I don't want them in my life. But I'll talk about them. I'll face them. I'm going to put them on the table because in 2019, I'm not going to be worried about them anymore. Amen? Right? Getting past your past. Consider Charles Colson, the aide to Richard Nixon who was sent to jail for Watergate. As a result of his experience as a convicted felon, Colson founded Prison Fellowship, which is now the largest Christian outreach for prisoners and their families. Prison Fellowship is more than 50,000 volunteers working in hundreds of prisons in 88 countries around the world. A ministry that has blessed millions of people and getting started 25 years ago because Colson committed a crime. So here's a guy that worked for the President of the United States that goes to prison, right? Whole world end, reputation ended, it's over with, it's over, it's over with. The whole world turns on him, right? Turns and realizes the need for prison ministry and gets involved in that ministry and grows to become the biggest prison ministry 25 years later that ever existed. Over crime. over sin. He was a man that already had a retirement program. I can promise you that. I remember about 3, 4, 5 times I had just about 8% of a retirement program. There it went. You know, but I know he had one. He had it all. He was set. He still went down into the mud. So I don't care who you are or what you are or what you've done. God can use us no matter where we are in life to do beautiful, wonderful things. We're going to talk about that. It was a part of God's plan from the very beginning. The story matters most that isn't Peter's, Paul's, or Charles, but more so your story. And what I want to say to you is that the story of your life has not been ruined, not by sin, not by mistakes. God's plan for your life is not buried under your mistakes of your past. God's plan for my life is not buried under my mistakes of my past, because he's taken a dirty, muddy man such as myself and given me an opportunity to share this word, amen, that I don't believe that I deserve most weekly basis, right? It fathoms my own mind to say that why God would use me in this position is that I just don't feel worthy of it, right? But that's like personal things. It's the devil speaking in the back of your ear. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. We need to take him out. He's reaching people. Get him out, right? But see, it's just so much as that he used Colson's life, as that he used your life, as he used my life, that each and every single one of us is a very, 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 very precious stone that just needs polished. Amen? Our testimonies and histories and past can be powerful to change the world. You know, and don't be afraid to face the need to change the world, because I live in the world and it needs change. Amen? Yes or no? Yeah. Right? So don't be afraid to be the one to put your foot down and say, no, this is the way it should be. Cordially, you know, politely, encouraging, you know, the right thing. It's I need you to understand that life has not been ruined. It's the choice that needs to take place. He's working out our plan in our lives right now. Would you believe that? And you will renew your commitment this day and seek God, and by following him and serving him with your whole heart, free of the past, no longer weighed down by regret, will absolutely succeed great things in your life. Amen. 100%. But if we're going to change, then we have to refocus our thoughts. We have to start to think a little bit differently than we thought in 2017. If we want to get going again, we want a fresh start, we need to rethink the way we think. Proverbs 4:23 says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Whew. Be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. And that's just a funny thing. I used to talk a long time ago. I shared a message about an idea being a virus. Because once the idea gets in, it's in. That's it. It's in. It's not going to get out. The idea is in. The question is, what are you going to do with it now? Is it a good idea? Is it an honest idea? Is it a Christian idea? Amen. What is this idea that's in my mind? We've all had them. We had ideas all day today. Sometimes ideas are called temptations. Sometimes ideas are called motives. Amen. But they all transpire into something. And we got to think about that. And he says, be careful how you think. If I wake up in the mirror today and I let my self-esteem down and I look in that mirror and I don't tell myself, you're a hero for God, right? Which I don't obviously see myself as a hero. But I mean, I'm just saying, if I'm looking in the mirror and I'm saying, you know, you're an addicted, broken down, fifth time, or I don't even know, 18th time felon, you're no good, da 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 da, your mistakes are weighing you down, da da da, I'm looking in the mirror. I'm not seeing the guy that God sees. Amen? God sees a man and a woman that has potential to carry his word and his truth and share his love and freedom to every individual that person comes into contact with. You guys have different circles than I do. Each and every single one of us has the ability to penetrate God's love into the world in a way that each and every single one of us also does not. But the fact is, we have to enact that gift. We have to be careful first of our mind. The way that we think determines the way that we feel. We have to think about that. The way that we feel determines the way that we act. If we want to change our actions, we have to change the way we think. We will inevitably change the way that we act. If you're depressed, discouraged, distressed, it may be because you're thinking about being depressed, discouraged, or distressed. Amen? But that's my choice. That's your choice. I have to wake up and choose to say, oh, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm depressed. Why? Because I'm choosing to be depressed? Because I have to be choosing to be depressed, because I can also choose to be full of joy. I can also choose to push on. Amen? I have to choose to accept that defeat, which I will not. Amen? If we're acting fearful, worried in ways that we're being fearful, then we're allowing fearful thoughts into our lives. Romans 12:2 said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if I have refocused in my thoughts to start over for a fresh start, that means I have to stop going in them old patterns. Amen? Amen? So if we're going to recognize those old thought patterns, the next thing to do is eviction. You're getting out. You're not getting a 30-day notice. I'm catching you in my mindset. You're out today. Amen? Right? Like a tenant that ain't paying rent, it's time to go. Bottom line. These old thought patterns, old processes, old things that keep us in the mud have got to go. And the truth of the matter is, if I don't have the ability to do that right now, I got mentors sitting in this group and every other group that I'm associated with that are absolutely here to volunteer to help me get that on track. Amen? That's the real reason why these guys are here. Because they want to get involved. They want to know. They want to make that change. Are they as a tough message Marvin shared earlier about the guy that said, you couldn't have said anything to me because I wasn't ready yet. And those of us that have been down that road know what that means. That no matter what you say to me, I'm going to do what I'm going to do until I'm ready to do it. I may make it sound real good right now because you're going to turn my lights on. But at the end of the day, if I'm not ready, you're no matter what you do for me. And the key for us is to discern when somebody's at that point so that we can promote them. And when not to promote them. Amen? Right? Because anybody that promoted me during my time period of addiction and negativity was promoting addiction and negativity. Not me. Even though they believed they were doing the right thing. Amen? Right? It gets deeper than that. And we have to think about it and not be afraid to put it on the table. We have to be able to open up and talk about each and every single situation. Otherwise, we're going to... anything we hide from and we don't address will continue to fester us. Period. So... if we're going to change, then we might as well have a good attitude about it. There's an old story about a happy little boy who went to the field wearing a baseball cap. Some of you guys have heard me read this story before. in one hand, he carries a baseball, in the other hand, a baseball bat. His face bore the look of tremendous confidence. Cocking his bat back, he tossed the ball into the air saying, I'm the greatest batter in the world. And he swung and he missed. Strike one, he said. He picked the ball up, examined it. Then threw it in the air again. As he swung, he repeated, I'm the greatest batter in the world. Once again, he missed. Strike two, he said. This time, he stopped to examine his bat. He stopped. There wasn't a hole in it. It wasn't missing anything. He picked up the ball. He weighed it. He adjusted his cap. He tossed the ball into the air for a third time with great focus. He says, I'm the greatest batter in the world. And swung that bat as hard as he can and missed and cried, what a pitcher. Amen. So the little boy with the bat may suggest that my attitude and frame of mind necessarily is the issue, not my focus. Right? In all of us, we'll see, you know, he's going to hit it. But in his mind, he was just enjoying being. Amen. I just want to wake up tomorrow and enjoy being. I don't have to hit the ball. I just want to be. Amen. We got to change our attitude about life. Life isn't because we don't have a Maserati or a 5-car garage. Life is about being there and enjoying it with those that you love around you and being able to succeed with sharing that love of God in your life, that light, putting the light on the table so everybody can see it. So if we're going to change, then we got to start being honest with ourselves. Here's another one. Nothing that turns people off to the gospel than phony Christians. A major temptation for us is to try to cover it up, be deceptive, act pious or religious, to pretend that we're holy when really we're struggling with something and needed help. Reader's Digest carried a story about a woman who traveled 50 miles to visit a friend. When she went to the car to go home, she discovered that she locked the keys in the car. She didn't know what else to do. She telephoned her husband long distance. He was exasperated, but he said, stay there. Don't go anywhere. I'll bring my keys to you. The woman went back to the car, found actually that one of the back doors were open. She raced back into the house and telephoned her husband, but he had already left. So what are you going to do when your husband arrives, said her friend. He's going to be mad when he finds out he came here for no reason. She said, I'm going to do what any red-blooded American wife would do. And she went out there, threw the keys in and slammed the door and locked it. Husband was not going to catch her. And you know, a lot of times we do that without even thinking about it. We throw the keys in the back seat and lock the door and smile and don't face those little bitty things. When in reality, if we could just be real about it all, then we could get to the conclusion faster. It's these things that slow us down. It's too hard to cover up our imperfections because we are imperfect. Only in Christ can we be perfect. And in that very moment, we could be in Christ only. Amen. But no one's perfect. We will attract the world by simply being open about who we are. The influence of our friends or who we don't know, that don't know Christ, is not leaving the impression that we never fail, but that we do stumble. That we stumble and we get up. When we say a righteous man falls down seven times, seven times he gets back up. Seven times righteous man falls down, seven times he gets up. So it doesn't mean that we're not going to stumble. It doesn't mean that we're not going to struggle. But it means that no struggle can stop me in my faith. No challenge before me can stop me in my faith. You can knock me down. I can fail. I can be de-winded. I can be broken and lose my pride. But with faith, I will get up again. And that's the courage and strength that we need to show the world. Amen. Not that we never stumble. Not that we never fail. Because anybody in this room has failed. I don't know anyone in this room that has not failed. Amen. It's just being able to be honest about it. Being able to be open about it. Change continues when we change our priorities. So I love statistics. Those of you guys that know me really well, I find statistics very interesting. And I think that you guys will find this too. So someone went through the trouble to research what people do with their time, right? And they came up with results. So if we lived 75 years, right? If we lived to be 75, on average, we would have spent 3 solid years, 24 hours a day, acquiring our education, grade school, high school, college. We'd have spent 7 years eating 24 hours a day. Some more than others, as you can tell, right? 7 years of eating. We'd have spent 14 years day and night working. We'd have spent 5 years riding in automobiles and airplanes. We'd have spent 5 years talking to each other, and again, some more and some less. We would have spent 1 year sick and recovering from illnesses, and get this, we would have spent 24 years of our life sleeping. We'll have spent 3 years reading books, magazines, and newspapers, and after 12 years of amusing ourselves, watching TV and the movies and fishing or whatever, totals to 75 years. That's what researchers say on average most would have done with our lives. But if you think about this as far as application is concerned, when you look at these statistics and you begin to think, let's suppose that you spent every single Sunday of your life for those 75 years through infancy, childhood, adult age, and then now in church on Sunday. That's only 5.5 months. It's only 5.5 months of church. I mean, you're telling me that I make it, you know, 5 years in an automobile and 5.5 years in church. I make it 14 years of sleep and only 5.5 months of church. 3 solid years of school. 14 years of sleep. Only 5 months in church. And then we ask myself, why don't I know what to do? Amen. Right? And I can't wait for them to redo these statistics, because the reality of it all is this sums up priorities in our life. It sums up priority in my life. If it breaks down from 75 that I only spent 5.5 months on my faith, then to me, have failed. Amen? Because faith should be the forerunner of everything that I do, because it encompasses and perfects what I get involved in. Amen? I don't have the ability to be honest by myself. I don't have the ability to be consistent by myself. Amen? I don't have the ability to stay out of trouble by myself. I don't know how many of you guys have come to this realization that without God in my life, I am a time bomb. Amen? And I don't want to get to 75 and have 5.5 months of faith in my life. I want that to change. But change continues when we depend on God. So we need to depend on ourselves. We have already proven that we can't do it on our own. Zechariah 4:6 says, "You will not succeed by your own strength, but by the power of my spirit, says the Lord. When someone becomes a Christian, they become a brand new person inside. They're not the same anymore. A new life has begun. God specializes in new beginnings and second chances. Jesus Christ has the power to do that. It's called being born again, the chance to start over. And we have this fresh start with our new life as we begin this new year. And God says, I don't want you to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to give you a new leaf. Amen? Right? He said, I don't want you to turn over the leaf. I'm going to give you a new one. That's a whole new thing. The conclusion is what do you want to see? There's one more thing that I really want to point out before we close tonight, and it's called reticular activating systems. And it doesn't make any sense to me. And before I studied this, it didn't make any sense to me before I figured out what it was anyway. So don't be discouraged that reticular activating systems doesn't make sense. But let me tell you this. Behavioral scientists have discovered that we actually see things that we're prepared to see. You ever think about that? You ever see things that you're prepared to see? It doesn't make sense. But scientifically, it's in our brain. It's in the nerve cells. It's called the reticular activating system. Everybody has this system. And it works like this. Once something's been brought to our attention, we've been prepared to see it. Well, we virtually see it everywhere we go. For example, have you ever gone out and searched for a new car and then bought that new car and then noticed that there were 800 other of those same cars in the street? But before that, you never noticed that, right? It never really dawned on me that there were that many of those cars out there. But the reality is, I tuned myself into that particular vehicle, and now my reticular system's kicking in. And when they're driving by, my mind's putting me at them. I can see them. But if you think about this, you think about our attitudes and what we're doing today. Now, what happened is that they were always there. But the moment we were prepared to see them, the reticular activating system kicked in and suddenly saw them everywhere. It happens to us in other areas of our lives too. So when we begin to think spiritually, when we begin to pray on a regular basis, when we have spiritual mentors and we read that word, it activates that reticular activating system to prep us to look for those things. Amen? So, i.e., if I'm trying to live a godly life, I'm hungry and watching for a godly experience. Amen? Now my mind and I'm open to those areas. I can catch on to when somebody needs help. I can pay attention to when I can go out of my way and help somebody or do my duty as ultimately a servant to everyone else to show that love. Amen? Whereas before I wake up, my reticular angular system is only focused on me. I need to get to work. I need to get this much money. I need to run here. I need to run there. I need to run the world. And the world, the world, the world, the world, the world. The world controls the way I think. I'm not open-minded to those things. And my temptations, my past, my previous history is all a part of that mindset. The key is that mindset. So if I notice that mindset in my life, I got to push that out and start getting hungry for things. Okay. I always tell you're going to find what you're looking for. If I go to a message, I go to church. And I go to that church, and I don't particularly care for the pastor. I can sit in that service for an hour and a half and pick out every single little tiny thing that guy said that didn't fit with what I wanted to hear. Right? Or I can go to that same church service, and I can leave and say, man, that dude touched my life. He touched my heart. This little portion of this message right here really spoke to me. Maybe the whole 60 minutes didn't hit me like a bat, but that 20 minutes, that thing that he said stuck with me. And not only did it stick with me, I'm bringing it home with me. Amen? I'm taking it home and I'm going to apply that to my life. And I'm going to watch God flourish the things that I'm involved with. Because people share with me spiritual advice. It's the reticular angular system. We need to promote ourselves. You know when Christ said, awake little sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He said, you know, those that are blinded by the god of the world, for in whose case they can't see it. But move into the veil, the love of Christ is what removes it. And then you can openly see, come into the light of Christ. That's how we then can see. That's opening our mindsets to spiritual faith. And that life is just so much more important than we thought it was. Amen. Our spiritual health and our spiritual longevity and our spiritual direction is the absolute key to success in all other areas. But if we're not open-minded to see it and watch for it and chase after it, then we're going to miss it because we're not watching for it. Amen? If I'm woke up today and I got to get my 9-to-5 in, I got to do me, and I'm not doing God, I'm going to miss the window. Amen? We got to think about that. So application today, I'm going to recognize the excuses that I make for my failures. I'm going to own up to them. Today, I'm going to refocus my thoughts by measuring them to the Word of God and changing them and acclimating myself to the Word of God. How can I be more honest with myself? What are my priorities? How should I change them? And in by doing so, how can I set better standards for myself and my loved ones? Some ways I need to depend on God, what are they? What are the areas of my life that I need to depend on God more often? What are the things that I can do in 2018 to not be perfect, but be real with myself and real with God so that we can get this mission going? Amen.